And now, here he is, Ed Sullivan.
Now, yesterday and today, our theater's been jammed with newspapermen and hundreds of photographers from all over the nation, and these veterans agree with me that the city never has witnessed the excitement stirred by these youngsters from Liverpool who call themselves the Beatles. Now, tonight, you're going to twice be entertained by them. Right now and again in the second half of our show, ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles!
This is Studio 360. I'm Kurt Anderson, and I remember that Sunday night, 50 Februarys ago. Close your eyes, and I'll kiss you. I was 9 years old watching The Ed Sullivan Show on a black and white TV with my brother and sisters and parents and grandparents. We'd all heard about the Beatles, and now they were making their American debut live. And 73 million of our fellow citizens, 40% of the population, were watching along with us. Sure, there had been girls screaming for Frank Sinatra 20 years earlier and for Elvis in the 50s, but Beatlemania was more, a couple of orders of magnitude bigger, one of the opening moments of the 60s as we came to know them. That mania is still circulating a bit through the culture. We sent Paul Vandekar out to sample it.
If you want to talk to some of the kids who went berserk over the Beatles, the first generation Beatlemaniacs, you can find some at the B.B. King Blues Club in Times Square. That's where a Beatles tribute band called Strawberry Fields plays a brunch gig on Saturdays. Well, she was just 17, you know. These are the grandmothers and grandfathers who watched that Ed Sullivan Show broadcast and will never forget it.
They came out and introduced the Beatles. And from that minute, the screaming started and the bouncing up and down. And the Beatles were wearing the suits and the boots and that adorable hair. The screaming was so loud, and everybody else was screaming, so I stood up on the chair and screamed for the rest of the show.
Girls screaming for them at the airport, girls breaking through the police lines at their hotel, girls chasing their car down the street.
Carrying the album around, pressed against my chest, and like every 3 minutes I would give Paul a kiss and tell him I loved him.
I mean, I loved their music, but I wasn't screaming, jumping up and down, anything like that until I saw the show.
Else, yeah.
And the girls were just absolutely out of their minds. And my very dear friend Vicky called me and said, "Which one do you love? Which one do you love?" And I'm like, "Oh, I really haven't thought about it." So it was that kind of thing,
yeah,
and it became infectious.
Yeah.
We had to declare our favorite Beatle immediately, and you had to have loyalty to that Beatle. My favorite Beatle was Ringo. He didn't really sing like the rest of them, so I always went for the guy that's always in the background. I love
you. After the Ed Sullivan Show appearance, Newsweek said musically they're a near disaster, guitars and drums slamming out a merciless beat. Their lyrics, punctuated by nutty shouts of yeah, 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 are a catastrophe, a preposterous farrago of Valentine card romantic sentiments. Parents hoped that the Beatles' star would fade like a dozen boy bands before them, but kids weren't paying attention to the squares.
The melodies and the words were so singable. You know, so we would literally get together on the playground and sing the songs, the harmonies, and the sort of the drum beat.
I was crazy about them. As I said, at this stage of my life, I can't imagine being that insane about something. I can't believe
it's happened to me. Across the street from the brunch gig, there's a movie theater. Earlier this winter, a new documentary opened there called Justin Bieber's Believe. The kids lined up to go in are known as Beliebers.
I'm 13. I've loved Justin since 2009.
Entire life, whole life dedicated. It's all I think about.
I brought paper bags to breathe in because sometimes it's hard, or I brought a box of tissues. And I was handing them to people because people were crying.
On a scale of 1 to 10, where would you place yourselves as Justin Bieber fans?
10,000.
I don't have a number in there.
It's like
broke my scale.
It's just infinite, like infinite times infinite amounts of infinity.
In Justin Bieber's Believe, there's footage of fans screaming for Justin, intercut with black and white footage of girls screaming for the Beatles.
You know you love me. I know you care. Just shout whenever, and I'll be there.
I love how they're comparing that to him because he is just like them and he's so talented just like them. And I think the fans were just as dedicated to him as they were to them. And it's a good thing to be compared to.
In 1964, Paul and John were 22, 24. Justin Bieber is 19 and he hit it big 5 years ago.
It all stemmed off from my fans showing up at each radio station. My fans posting, like, video responses before I was signed. It all started from the fans, so it's got to end up with the fans.
And I don't think any of his bad boy outbursts are going to bother these fans.
When your family just annoys you, and you turn to Justin, and his beautiful angelic voice, you know, just calms you down. This kid really does know what's getting to us.
Baby, baby, oh, baby, baby, baby.
Well, be careful. Be careful.
The first few Beatle records were yeah, 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 and love me do, I love you, you know, be true and all that.
That's true.
No difference.
John Korba plays George Harrison in Strawberry Fields, the tribute band.
Every generation needs to have something they can call their own. We were calling rock and roll our own when our parents came up on big band. It's just the quality of the music that we were lucky enough to grow up to, you know, was really exceptional. Justin Bieber, who knows? I mean, I do know they're not going to be singing his songs in 20 or 30 years.
I mean, my mother screamed for Frank Sinatra, and she did.
To me, it's hormonal, genetic, and just a function of mass culture.
A lot of people's actually been telling me lately, like, oh, when you get older, you're going to look back at this and be like, oh, you're so stupid for doing all of this stuff for a kid. Like, no, they don't realize that when I grow up and I'm older, I'm going to look back at all of this. I'm going to be like, I love the kid. I still love the kid. And I'm always going to be there for him. And I'm glad that I stuck through everything because it was so worth it. He's just amazing.
It's impossible for me to stop loving him.
Love him till I'm 80 years old.
I love him forever.
I'll make my kids love him. My great-grandchildren, we're all going to love him together.
My great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren.
No, I think we're just going to be Beatles fans for the...
Forever.
Forever.
Yeah.
I'm going to have a play when I'm laid out in that little old coffin. I'm going to have Beatles music playing in the background.
For Studio 360... I'm Paul Vandercar.
No hymns, just
no hymns,
just the Beatles.
Yeah, and Revolver especially. Revolver. That's my favorite album. She said, I know what it's like to be
dead. I know what it is to be sad. So what do you think? Will Justin Bieber ever make his Revolver or Sgt. Pepper? Will those kids who love him today still be singing along with his songs 50 years from now? Let us know what you think at studio360.org.